But the privations, or rather the hardships, of Lowood lessened. Spring drew on. She was indeed already come. The frosts of winter had ceased. Its snows were melted, its cutting winds ameliorated. My wretched feet, flayed and swollen to lameness by the sharp air of January, began to heal and subside under the gentler breathings of April. The nights and mornings no longer by their Canadian temperature froze the very blood in our veins. We could now endure the play-hour passed in the garden. Sometimes on a sunny day it began even to be pleasant and genial, and a greenness grew over those brown beds, which, freshening daily, suggested the thought that hope traversed them at night, and left each morning brighter traces of her steps. Flowers peeped out among the leaves, snowdrops, crocuses, purple auriculas, and golden-eyed pansies. On Thursday afternoons, half-holidays, we now took walks, and found still sweeter flowers opening by the wayside under the hedges. I discovered, too, that a great pleasure, an enjoyment which the horizon only bounded, lay all outside the high and spike-guarded walls of our garden. This pleasure consisted in prospect of noble summits, girdling a great hill hollow, rich in verdure and shadow, in a bright beck full of dark stones and sparkling edges. How different had this scene looked when I viewed it laid out beneath the iron sky of winter, stiffened in frost, shrouded with snow, when mists as chill as death wandered to the impulse of east winds along those purple peaks, and rolled down Ing and home till they blended with the frozen fog of the beck. That beck itself was then a torrent, turbid and curbless. It tore asunder the wood and sent a raving sound through the air, often thickened with wild rain or whirling sleet, and for the forest on its banks, that showed only ranks of skeletons.